I apologize, I got here a little bit late, but he's reading from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 4. Not everybody is obedient to the gospel, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Amen. We have been able to, at these services, sit for many days and hear the Holy Word of God. Where the speakers have taken different texts of the Bible. We have rejoiced in that God has spoken those words that we have had or desired to hear. God has fed our faith, opened our eyes to look to the future, and blessed our gathering. We have approached these services in prayer, and I would think in this way, when I think of this time now that I am serving, that you people have prayed that God would open His Word and feed with His Word. We have already heard from the book of Romans, and in these speeches, they have spoken of some of the verses in this text. This book of the Romans was written in the year 56 to 57. The apostle had not gone yet to Rome. He went to Rome about 10 years later as a prisoner. But now, when he writes his letter to the Romans, he sees that work continues into new areas, and he explains in this letter about the foresight of faith. It's writing of faith and of the future that those who have owned the Holy Spirit by faith. This 10th chapter of Romans includes the very basic proclamation. The text began, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every man that believeth. Here we can hear what we speak of at these services. In the beginning of the chapter, the apostle says that his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. But he notices that they wish to know God. They wish to know God, but they do not have understanding. In other words, they are under the law. In the same situation that the writer of the letter was when he persecuted the children of God in his other life before the happenings on the road to Damascus. Christ is the end of the law. Here we speak of the law of God and what do they mean and their duty. But before all, it speaks here how the Savior came to fulfill the law. I did not come to end the law. I have come to fulfill the law. I could say that the law has three different duties. And here, this morning, we already heard how, when he's thinking of the Ten Commandments, that our temporal laws, we wanted to be written based on these, as it was in Israel, and we can be joyous over that. That even in our country, our land, that our laws are in some ways taken account of the Ten Commandments. In our temporal work, the law has its own duty. And directions or instructions that we gave our church a long time ago, that the law is for that reason that we would leave the wretched on the outside. When we think of ourselves today and how we accept the law, we are before the law. What here, as it says here later, that let everybody be obedient to the government, for the government is of God, and they are the law of God. As fathers and mothers, we have a duty to speak to future generations that God has given us the law and the regulations, and has been meant that we follow these laws. We can thank God for our government, and that our government protects us. In the 13th chapter, it also says that we should be obedient to authority for the sake of our conscience. It is a matter of conscience, and even in this area, we must learn and grow. That nevertheless, even if some law would feel it is not good, we must honor the law. And Peter also reminds us how important it is that we listen to the voice of our conscience, that we should listen to God more than people when they are in conflict of each other. The duty of the law is to teach so all people would know their sinfulness. In the time of Moses, God gave that promise and foresight that keep my commandments and law, for everyone who shall follow them shall receive life. I am the Lord. The law promises that he who fulfills the law and lives according to the law shall live. What is our experience and what is the proclamation of God? Is it not this? At these services, we have been able to hear of the fall into sin and the effect that has on a person. When the first pair fell into sin, we carry with us that same sin as part of us. Paul writes somewhere else that others all are unworthy. No one does good, not one. When we look at this portion of God's word, that the law is judgment and death, not one of us would have a possibility unto life and the faith if God had not redeemed us, pardoned us. The law has a remarkable duty, for it leads a person onto Christ. Martin Luther sometimes said in this way, that the law is like a dog, a hunting dog that hunts its prey. And Luther also used an example when he was hunting, that the dog was hunting a rabbit, and all of a sudden the rabbit was nervous and afraid, and the rabbit jumped upon Luther, and they got him. I'm sure there are many hunters here, but in this way Luther explained the duty of the law, that the law drives a person to look for security, for safety. Then the duty of the law has been fulfilled. The law must be preached as if there was no... The law should be preached as if there is no grace, and the grace should be preached as there is no law. Through the law, we feel our sin. That is why this proclamation from God's kingdom, even today, it is the law and it is the gospel. We have heard of the two-edged dagger. Paul said, I have died because of the law, but God lives. He writes that if the law would not have been shown unto him, he would not have known of his sins. The law has been a teacher unto Christ, that he who searches can find the righteousness of Christ. But in Galatians, Paul reminds us that when faith came, we have no longer been a teacher or follower of the law or underneath the law. This is from what our text here took off. Now, shortly, the third part of the law is that we must stop for a minute and speak of it. When it says here, Christ is the end of the law, it is this. We are, from the grace of God, believing. By grace, and because of Jesus Christ, there are nevertheless battles in our lives, and we have had discussions that does the law belong to the believer? Should it be used to open one to see his sins? How do we teach today? Is it not God's grace? God's grace has been preached here. The forgiveness of sins has been preached here. We have spoken of the perfect work of Christ. The grace of God is such that we put our head down, bow our head, and we thank God that he has pardoned us, for he has forgiven us our sins. In this text, we notice that this righteousness that is from faith in our heart, that he who wishes to enter heaven must be first brought down, and who shall descend in the deep, that is to bring up Christ. The word, but what does he say? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and that is the word of faith which we preach. How many here say that they have taken care of matters with God through prayer? When they approach God, they had prayed that God had opened his faith and he became unto God. But here is a warning to that thought, that we would not look into heaven, that as child of God, we would keep hold of God's word. Jesus Christ has died for our behalf and rose into heaven to be on the right hand of God. But the work of God continues here in his kingdom. In how many sermons have you already heard of this duty that Jesus gave unto the disciples, that take ye the Holy Spirit, whosoever sins you forgive, they shall be forgiven unto them. In the congregation of Christ, this work of Christ and God is continued when Paul here speaks from the mouth and from the heart. This is that word from faith that we preach. How the work of God's kingdom continues here through people, those who believe before us. They sent the message forward, that gift of faith that we rejoice even here, that is part of our life. And the other half, when Paul says we should not seek it from below, from the dead, brings us to such a situation. For the Bible says how Christ arose on the third day. That promise of God was fulfilled. God was behind this work of salvation, and Christ still lives. Through the faith of the heart, we are good unto salvation, and through our mouth we confess our faith. This work continues here in his kingdom through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does holy work. Martin Luther also said in many different ways that with the Holy Spirit we have here in this world a marvelous congregation. This is that mother that gives birth and carries all believers through God's word. Jesus is with us through his Spirit. We have heard about this, and we have believed this. And Paul, when he speaks of the congregation, names it as God's house, a pillar of truth and a foundation. When he writes to Timothy about God's word, the book of Ephesians speaks of the body of Christ. We are before a very important issue here today, that this congregation of God here upon earth is our mother. It is the mother of all believers. And in this care, we have been able to experience love and care. God speaks through His Holy Spirit unto us. And God asks of us to be faithful unto His word. This pillar of truth and this foundation, as it says in the old translation, when Christ is with His congregation present, the congregation is the pillar of truth and foundation. As Christ said, I am the road, the way, and the life. To become part of God's congregation, it is very important, as John writes in the parable of the vine tree. He mentions how important it is that the branches of the vine tree are attached to the tree. I am the vine, and every branch that does not bear fruit shall be cut off, and every branch that carries fruit He wishes to care for, so it would bring better fruit and more fruit. And this is through the word, what Christ has taught us. This connection to this God's kingdom congregation is in this way. And we can pray of God in this way, that we would be preserved, that we would be preserved in this kingdom of God. And then before us, the word of Paul. There's no difference between the Greek and Roman, for each is the same and rich. For there is no difference between a Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. He opens here that view that God does not separate people of where they come from based on any reason. All people are before God, are very precious and dear. We remember Peter when he was battling, when he was received invitation to the home of Cornelius. He battled with himself. What does this mean? It was a new area where he had to go. When God told Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. And Peter also spoke of the same matter when he gathered together the apostles. Peter explains what this meant. Today we have marveled that God had preached His word throughout the world. And when we think, maybe into very difficult areas, but when we do the work of God, all barriers are disappeared, and God brings his wish forward. And connected to this, when we look at this, we can see that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not, as we heard before, that we would be saved by prayer, but that God leads the person who is searching, for he who searches, he shall find, and he who knocks, the door will be open. Paul also says that not everyone is obedient to the gospel. As Isaiah says, who listens to our sermon? For who listens to our sermon? Even today, we often speak of this, of that view, of this matter, that now we are living a time of falling, that many do not believe the sermon. We cannot think in this way, that the work is in vain. But the other way, we know according to God's word, God searches, looking for those people who have fallen. And in the same way, today, God is still searching and working to find those people on the outside. In the Bible, it also says there are examples. When people have heard the word of God, like the sermon of Jonah, that you remember, boys and girls, and his life, when he fled from his duty, but when God set him to do this work, for God sent Jonah, when he came out of the whale, he gave him a new duty. Jonah was then ready to work. And when he was traveling on a ship, when he was able to speak of the living God, those that listened were able to experience the repentance. But then in the city, it was a large city. It took 3 days to walk from one side of the city to the other. But when Jonah proclaimed that in 40 days the city will be destroyed, the people believed and accepted the gospel. The view of Jonah was disappointed when he remained there, that the end would come. The grace of God is so remarkable that God shows his power and shows his grace. In our text, we can see that faith cometh by hearing and through the word of God. How important this is, that we would come to hear the word of God. To come to those services where God speaks unto us. In these services, we wish to show his righteousness, that love which has come from the outside, this gift of righteousness. That the connection between man and God is the most important matter. God loves you and me. after a fall into sin, people wish to flee. But he who lives in the grace of God can live secure. For my joy is to be close to God, as we have seen at these services. Dear travel friends, in the Bible, there are often examples, and we speak of examples, of Abraham and his faith. Abraham is a forepicture of faith. When I look from here at you children who are listening, I especially, my heart becomes warm. When Jesus spoke about children, he spoke of the children of God. He exhorted that his followers would be called children. The grace of God is such. The redemption work of Christ is so perfect that it has fulfilled all. Through this, it is possible to become acceptable and righteous before God. Every person who is born into this world is born as a child of God. The God of grace of God, as Paul writes to Titus, the grace of God unto all people is healthy and has been revealed and teaches us to forsake of all godlessness and tells us to live in a godly and a civil way. Under the grace of God, we have been able to be at these services. And I would think that many of my travel friends, when you listen to sermons here, have thought, it's easy to be here. It is secure here in this kingdom. But the storms of the world are very difficult. There are battles in your own life of faith. For sin lives in us, and we feel this. Will I be given power to believe? Can I endeavor until the destination? Isaiah says in his letter, be not afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. This is a promise that God wishes to tell us. We have nothing to fear today. Nothing in the world can happen that is not known about God. Our whole life is in His hands. You remember, dear friends, that Lot experienced many different things in his life. He noticed in his own psalm that I know that my Redeemer lives. He will say the last word in this world when the time ends. The will of God will be fulfilled. Our Savior, our God, will say the last word in this world. We are in such secure environment, in such great care, believing by grace and only by grace. We are traveling towards heaven. And even now, when I've been speaking, I wish to approach you that the grace of God is perfect. It is our comfort. If we believe, you can, at this moment, remain believing, all your sins, temptations, and trials forgiven, in Jesus' name. and blood. You can believe under peace, joy, and freedom. Dear travel friends, in this faith, in this hope, in this grace, we travel our own journey that God knew before we were born. And when we close our eyes here and awake in the glory of God in those services where we will never leave back home and we will be forever before God, can I yet remain believing? I wish to believe with you. In Jesus' name, amen.